live from the bar at C2E2. It's Drunk on Comics, episode, I don't even know.
Yeah, I actually don't even know because we don't have really our computers in front of us.
No, I think we're around 150. I don't know. Oh, wait. We have podcast historian Jason here with us.
Hi, everybody. We're actually close to 200 episodes.
Wait, you guys. We forgot the intro music. Ding, 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 ding.
Tony, you're terrible. But this is episode 149 of Drunk on Comics. Tony, myself, Karen are here at C2E2, along with us, my cousin Jason, who is also the podcast historian, who his sister actually was on the podcast before you were.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, Anyway, this is going to be a little bit different episode. I honestly don't know if we're going to have our normal hour-long show or not.
Yeah, we have not a lot of news. Because we're here in the bar and we don't have really internet access. We don't have as much equipment as we normally would. We're just going to kind of wing it. And what we record is what we record, but it should still be a good show. And
no, it won't.
Hey, we got beer, so it'll be good for us.
Yes. So, all right, guys, a little different format this week for Off the Shelf, which is brought to you, weirdly enough, by Motor City Comic Con while we're at C2E2. But Motor City Comic Con, go check them out at MotorCityComicCon.com. It is happening this May 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Suburban Collection Showplace in beautiful Novi, Michigan. We will be there. We'll have treats.
Okay, you're bringing the treats then, because...
Well, yeah, but people can buy them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are they sharp pointy sticks?
No, they're not sharp pointy sticks.
Yeah, we're over the sharp pointy sticks.
Well, mostly because we don't know how much time Matt's going to be able to join us, so I'm not packing sticks for, like, one day. That's just dumb. But, no, the treats we'll have. We're going to have some ink whiskey flasks, and we might have some other ones, too. We'll see what happens, but... Anyway, you gotta come to Motor City and find out.
Yes. So this week, unlike normal weeks where we each would have our own books review, we're going to go in-depth with just one particular book. Like I said, we've had so much stuff to do at this show that really this is one that we really want to highlight right now. So we're just going to go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So do you want to start?
Sure. This is Inhuman Special number 1 from Marvel.
Featuring the Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, it says that.
I get the variant.
On that cover.
Oh.
I get the variant cover.
As your cover is cooler, damn it.
Yeah, it's because I'm cooler. But, all right, so this one here is written by Jeff Loveness. Colors are by Nolan Woodard. Letters are by DC's Josephino and some dude that we may or may not know, Ryan Lee.
Who?
Yeah, Ryan Lee, good friend, personally good friend of the show, did the art on this. Now, we talked about Ryan a little bit in the
like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, the Inhuman, or yeah.
Uncanny Inhuman, the second little story arc that Ryan Stegman had wrote.
Yeah. Yeah, the Uncanny Inhumans, because this is just Inhuman.
Oh, yeah.
Uncanny Inhumans, issue 0, is where we first saw Ryan get like a short story in there, written by Ryan Stegman. This one here is entirely drawn by Ryan Lee, and so we're really geeked about that, and we're incredibly excited because we've known how talented he is for years. I'm just glad the rest of the world is finally getting to see it.
I am, but I'm also a little upset the rest of the world is, because it's like he was our little pocket artist that we could have him draw amazing things and we could show off to our friends, look at this thing, and everyone's like, holy shit, that art is amazing. Now, his time is filled with doing commissions that you're good for him, but I'm jealous that I don't get my commissions as quickly.
You're being
selfish. He doesn't want to share his toys.
it's not even as much. I don't know, Tony. You're just a lobster. You're shellfish. So, the beers may have been flowing a little bit longer than normal, but all right. So, Tony, let's kind of give a brief synopsis of what's going on in this book.
All right, so the Inhumans, they're still going on about the Terrigen Mist bomb that went across the world, and that has wreaked havoc not only for humans, but also this other mysterious flying island that was made up of pretty much kind of winged angel creature type beings.
A bunch of Icarus looking people.
Yes, but they also mostly had inhuman blood. So when that bomb went off, it fucked with a lot of them and turned them from what they were kind of looking like into inhumans. They have many different powers. Some of them have physical deformations, and that seemed to have occurred within here when you get the backstory.
It seemed to turn them more from humans with wings into harpy-looking creatures.
Yeah, which I guess that's how it fits the narrative of the story. I don't necessarily know. Terrigen Mist just does that to certain groups.
Well, I know that when you're at conventions and you're sharing a hotel room with people, sometimes there's another mist that makes your nose make, like, look weird and crinkle up, too. So that's different.
The story, also the bad guy within it, revolves around Red Raven, who in the past was a character within Marvel that they're kind of bringing back out to say
okay.
a story.
I want to touch on Red Raven for a minute, because I don't remember Red Raven.
I don't either.
And I found it interesting when they're like, yeah, and I helped fight to stop the war, and they show him with the Invaders. Mm-hmm. You know, with the original Android.
But as he said that the war, we are the outcast, which I also thought was interesting.
Right, but okay, so your Invaders, you've got Cap, you've got Namor, you've got the original Android, Human Torch, and you got Bucky Barnes, and they're showing Red Raven flying with them. Now, I haven't read all the Invaders, so I don't know, but I do remember I loved that comic as a kid. I do not remember him ever even teaming up with the Invaders. Or being a part of the team for that matter.
He wasn't part of that. He was part of the Liberty Legion.
Okay.
Now, how that also came about, whether he was a huge part of it, my Google search doesn't give me much. So.
Well, what I'm getting at really is, are they retconning, like, you know, his history, or are they just adding it in to make it a bigger part of
there,
the story?
There was three separate characters with the same name. One, who was the original one, was a flying person. The second one, named Dania, was also a flying superhero and the daughter of the original Red Raven. And then there was Redford Raven, a Wild Wild West villain, who had his own set of mechanical wings. So there's been a character that has been in, but I'm pretty sure it's probably a minor B-list character that was in a couple one-off stories that they're now kind of bringing to the fold of, like, I was here. Now believe me, all these stories that I also was in.
I was just off-panel. You didn't see me.
Yeah.
So, okay. Tell me, continue, please.
So, with that being said, this also being the second part of a three-part series that's going from the first one was Spider-Man, this one Inhuman, then it's going to conclude with Captain America special edition to have this three-part story arc. So within this one, Medusa is captured, the villain's kind of telling his past story, wah, 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 which I liked it because he was saying, just like every of those tragic stories, this happened to me, I wasn't Inhuman, so I didn't turn gross, but now I'm kind of their leader. That's one part of the story. The other part of the story, which I find the most fun of this book in the dialogue, is Spider-Man, along with some of the new humans that have come about from the other Inhuman book going on. They have Flint, they have Iso, and they have, I forget her name, but Flying Snake Girl.
I don't remember her name either.
And they have Inferno as well. But
oh, you mean Bunsen Burner.
Bunsen Burner.
Yes, and that's where I just have to say, which we will highlight the art of Ryan in a sec. For me, a big part of when I read stories is the dialogue, the way the story is going. And when you have them first just falling down this hole within the island, and Spider-Man saying, you know, can you fly? Or I can catch on fire. you're the first, you know, only fire person who can't fly that I've ever met.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Did you play mine? Like,
yeah, and basically he's like, maybe you can work on it.
Yeah. And through that, I'm just like, now this is the Spider-Man that is going to tell a lot of jokes. And throughout this entire thing, jokes galore, you know, the Bunsen burner thing.
Well, guys, I knew when you guys were reading it and you both busted out laughing, they're like, I'll wait till Derek gets to this part. When he's like, all right, what do people say, like Spider-Man says, you know, what do people say when they're leading their team into battle and you see Captain America. And
Freedom.
Yeah, and you see, like, Reed Richards.
I'm going to invent something super smart that Peter Parker could never come up with.
Yeah, and then you see Cyclops just going, Gene! I'm like, oh, wow.
That in of itself, I'm actually going to try to go look and see how much Ryan is for this panel, because it cracked me up so much, just that whole part.
Yeah.
Another funny part, though, too, was his trying to find his Avengers card, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
To call in his emergency, which also the kids say the same thing. Why the heck didn't you do that in the first place? Like,
yeah.
Why didn't you use it? And of course, it's left back at home in his apartment, so
it is futon.
It's futon.
Yeah.
Okay, now, there are a couple other things I do want to talk about on the writing from Loveness on this. The thing that I thought worked insanely well is you have this the Red Raven character here talking about, woe is me, I'm different, things are tough, blah, 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 and he turns to the evil side of things. And, sorry, I'm just seeing a really hilarious Macho Man Randy Savage cosplay walk by.
The things that happen here.
Yeah. But, no, he's talking about it, and what happened to him turns him into somebody who just has to lash out. But yet, the flip side is the Spider-Man story. Spider says, look, you're not going to be normal anymore. You are different. This is part of who you are now, and you make the best out of it. And I liked seeing in a story where there really was that two sides of the same coin.
It's the dichotomy of how you proceed forward from any changing point in your life.
Exactly. And I thought that was a really beautiful thing to kind of tie this story together, because when you're first reading it, you're like, there's two stories and there's nothing. They tie together in what the mission is at the end, but you're reading it and going, why are there two separate stories? This doesn't really, it's not doing it for me. And when it comes together, holy
that's,
shit.
That's the aha moment.
Yeah.
Well, and I think Spider-Man, especially with these inhuman kids who have just come in their powers and they're learning what it is, having Spider-Man be this mentor for them, or at least teaming up with them to become a mentor for them, is one of those amazing things. His story arc within Spider-Man and the X-Men has been the same way. Those stories have been, it's one of those things, he should be running the Jean Grey school because of how much he cares of sharing that responsibility, you know, and mentoring the young ones. There was a page last week where...
Sorry, Tony, you got to turn around a little bit. Groot. That is amazing.
There is Groot.
Groot, Groot, Groot.
Where there was a page where Spider-Man's, luckily after this fiasco happened with the ship burning up and everything, and he finds out that the dude's alive, he goes, yes, no one has died on my watch still. And it's like, yes, that's Spider-Man's teaching thing. As long as no one has died yet, that's amazing.
Well, you know, here's the thing, too, with that. With, you know, the Spider-Man and the X-Men. You start thinking about it, and he's at the Jean Grey School for Gifted, gifted youngsters or whatever. There's no way that he could ever, that there could ever be a Peter Parker school for young, gifted people got bitten by a radioactive spider. It doesn't work.
There's enough people that have been bitten by spiders that they could have a whole school. I mean...
Yeah, maybe a homeschool. All right, let's talk a little bit about the art from Ryan Lee. And and at the same time, while I'm doing that, I want to give a huge shout out to Nolan Woodard on colors on this book, because the colors really fucking pop.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
The first thing that I thought of when I saw it was he told to write. Foosh and
that's a
foop.
Yeah, and everything, the sound effects in this, they're all over. They're drawn in to, you know, the thwam with the wing. You know, I mean, the sound effects are so beautifully woven into the actual panels that it doesn't detract, it doesn't pull you out. It actually adds to the art itself, which I'm assuming, and I want to go back and look at the original pages, because Brian actually has them here. He hasn't sold all of them already. But I want to go back, and we'll find out in the interview with him as well what that whole process was. But really fucking awesome in there. But Ryan's art is insanely detailed.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that this is not your typical house style for a superhero comic. And I think that's one of the first things a lot of people are going to come into. They're going to be like, you know, there's a little bit of, one of the other books that people might be familiar with is Manhattan Projects with Nick Patara. There's almost a little bit of that, because things are slightly exaggerated, but not...
And it's, I hate to say grittier, but...
Rawness.
Yeah, it's got kind of a raw feel, but it's just beautifully done with so much detail.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a smooth line art form at all. I mean, it's definitely a rough line, and it works, and it does. I mean, it makes it dirty, it makes it gritty, and it brings it kind of more down to... It makes these superheroes feel like they could be real, much more than a lot of the shiny stuff that's out there.
They're much more relatable.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's one of the big differences in the book. But yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. Actually, this is one of the few times that, knowing it's an annual, so knowing it's self-contained, more or less, even though it's part of another story arc, I literally went through and looked at the artwork twice before I read the book.
Yeah.
And I don't do that, because I don't want spoilers. But this book really was fucking amazing. I can't wait to talk to Ryan a little bit more about this either later tonight or tomorrow, and kind of get a little bit more insight onto the whole thing. But you guys got anything else that you need to add on this one other than go buy it?
Definitely just go buy it.
Absolutely go buy it.
Call and text or Twitter Marvel that you want to see more of Ryan Lee's art, because I know we do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, guys, let's...
More notes than news, but some news nonetheless has come out this week.
Actually, before we even get into the news, Tony, I want to pick your brain and Jason, yours too. What have been some of your highlights of the con so far? I mean, like, was there anything that you've seen, heard, got to buy, someone you got to talk to that was, like, really a highlight for you?
Compared to last year, my big highlight is last year I was only able to come for Saturday. So I was rushing around trying to get everything done in one day, and there's just so much to do and so many guests you want to see. You can't possibly do it all in one day. This year, coming on Friday and having Saturday and having a whole weekend to do everything, I was able to take it in smaller doses and actually kick back and enjoy it and spend more quality time talking with the artists like Ryan Brown, talking with Ryan Lee. Managed to find a few original art pieces. And I was also able to get a few commissions put in that I'll be getting by the end of the weekend. I mean, it's just been a phenomenal weekend this far.
Speaking of original art pieces, I cannot wait to see what I'm getting back on my one commission that I've got in right now.
Nor can I.
I decided to do something new this year, and I went and I actually bought a sketchbook. And Ryan Brown is actually doing, Ryan Brown, for people that aren't super familiar either with us or with him, he does the book God Hates Astronauts. Amazing artist, hilarious writer, just all around great guy, ridiculously funny to just talk to in person. And here's a pro tip. It's not a pro tip, but I'm just going to say it is. But for a collecting tip, we haven't had one of those in a while.
Oh. Yeah, that's been a long while.
Collecting for collecting original art, if nothing else. find an artist that you really like, and I'm guilty because I love to be able to pick which artist I want to draw what character, sometimes because I like to challenge them. But this book is going to be entirely nothing but commissions by artists, letting them draw whatever they want to draw. I'm not... The only thing I've requested is that they somehow work the Drunk on Comics logo into it. So, I mean, I don't care. They could just write Drunk on Comics in the bottom corner, and it doesn't even have to be part of the art, but that's going to be one of the fun things. So when I told Ryan, he's like, what do you want? I go, what do you want to draw? The look on his face, he would have thought it was fucking Christmas.
It was like a kid in a candy store. He lit up, like, his Christmas ornaments.
Yeah. He's like, your commission's going to be awesome.
Three things for me this convention. I haven't bought a lot, but one item in particular that I saw, which I just fell in love with, and it's mainly because of it's on this aluminum, like, piece. Like,
it's on, like, a piece of sheet metal.
Yeah, sheet metal. Is of the Dinobots in their dino forms, but, like, Grimlock's breathing fire. It's really, really gorgeous looking, but because it's on this metal, any sort of light really makes it shine. It looks like real fire. It's a unique way to sell some prints, and got a good deal on it too, so that was a good find. Second thing, all weekend long I've had the privilege to be hanging out with their good buddy Joss Whedon, and I've had a photo shoot with him all weekend long. There will be a little blog post of Joss later on coming this week, so check that out on our website as well. But Joss is definitely along for the ride on this one. But the last thing, which was awesome last night, I was able to hang out with a group of our sponsors, the guys from Ink Whiskey, who make the retro flasks that we talk about every week. Those guys were fun. Open tab. They like to drink as much as we do. Awesome guys.
Is that even possible?
There's people that can come close, so I could say that they could come close. It was a really great time to hang out with them. So
I'm playing with our good buddy Joss Whedon right now, and blocking the microphone while I do it. But you guys will see. Oh wait, hold on. Let's get him there. There we go.
Oh wait, he needs a straw. He can't reach.
Well, I can't help it. But you guys will see more of Joss's adventures on the website. That's gonna be fun. You know, for me, I think, for me, every con is always like summer camp for us, because we get to see people that we only see once a year. That's huge. I think the thing that I'm enjoying the most this year is because we're here for more time. Last year we were here just Saturday and Sunday, because we were able to get a lot of the work out of the way yesterday. Today I spent the majority of the time slowly walking up and down Artist Alley and literally looking at every single table, and I found some really cool shit.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited to read some of it. We're going to tell you about a little bit of it in the interviews that are coming up later. But yeah, that's kind of my big fun. So, all right, enough of that. Let's actually talk about a little bit of news.
All right,
or news ish stuff. Big shock, Daredevil got renewed for a second season.
Yeah. I've also heard talks throughout the company of this month, with as amazing as that was, there's been a push to have another Punisher made for years, but just those movies, just they kind of failed at the box office. This is looking like there could be Punisher coming back on the small screen. Whether it becomes a series or it becomes an overall story arc, it would be an amazing thing to see Punisher coming. So that's also some news coming down that way. I was able to sit on a panel today learning a little bit more of the Secret Wars nonsense that's Marvel's trying to pull on everyone, and learned a few things that are interesting, at least for the last days. There's, as most people should know, there's three different parts that are going to go on. There's Last Days, which is going to be, well, the last days going up until Battle World is made. Then there's the Battle World books, which are going to be all about the fights.
Are they going to be about Battle World?
Yes. And then, fuck, I can't even think of the third thing that they are.
Well, I know one of the things he learned is that, once again, I'm right, and the city is pronounced Adelon.
Oh, yeah, I was wrong on how I pronounced the Inhuman City for the longest time. Black Widow End of Days, her last story arcs is going to kind of revolve in around her past and getting to know a little bit about who she was before being that. Cap and the Mighty Avengers, they teased how it's going to be kind of how they're coping with the end, but then you get to realize who the mightiest Avenger is. It's you. And the way that they are saying it, every single one is going to be in this book. So I can only imagine the last page is going to be one of those mirrored foil pages that shows you. Well, I can almost bet on it. Just the way that they're kind of being cryptic of, it'll be surprising how we got you in all of these, but...
So it's going to be the Dragon Scroll.
Something. It's going to be something going on. Loki's just been reintroduced as like the god of stories in the last issue. How Loki's going to spend his last day is... That book's going to have a lot to do with more of the gods. They're sensing that the world's ending. And since everything's going to be ending, a lot of them have scores to settle. So there's going to be a lot of Odin fighting this, doing
holy
that.
Shit. Sorry, that's the most kick-ass new Batgirl costume I've ever seen. It's a brand new costume. Damn it. Sorry. Keep going.
Silver Surfer doesn't really fit into any of these issues, so they're calling it Last Days. And when all the cosmic books are gone, he's going to be out in his own little world, creating an entire new universe. The biggest one that I'm looking forward to is Punisher End of Days, because since the world's ending, they're just going to have him be killing a ton of people. So that book's going to get deadlier and deadlier than it is. And then in Humans, their thing's going to involve a lot of battles. And I learned something about in Humans from the panel, too. You know Reader's Dog?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
it's called?
Yeah, it's called
Fourie.
Fourie, short yeah. for Four Eyes.
Yeah. Oh, well, I never knew that.
Well, Charles Soule told us that at Motor City last year.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe you should listen to the fucking podcast too when you're not
Well, Charles Soule told me today at the panel, so fuck off. But
yeah, we knew that like forever ago.
You know, I think I did know that, which is why, but... The more you don't know.
The more you drink, the more you
the
don't
more
know.
You drink, yeah. Exactly.
Alright, little news tidbit, which kind of surprised me, and I'm bringing this up for multiple reasons. Ron Richards has left Image Comics. He was their business manager, and... Basically, he was going out, he was helping to kind of promote Image Comics, get the word out about them, doing a number of different things, and he's left. It's one of these things where, you know, while he's been there, Image has only gotten larger. He's only been there for, you know, a couple of years, and yeah. maybe 2 years at this point. But Ron is, and the reason I want to bring this up, Ron is one of the original founders of iFanboy, which... iFanboy is one of the podcasts that really influenced me to want to sit down with my friends and talk about comic books in our own way.
Okay.
And so, you know, I just want to wish him the best. He doesn't really know exactly where he's going with his career at this point. It sounds like it was a mutually happy thing. Yeah, it's time for us. I don't think either of them are happy about it. I guess just best wishes, you know, Ron, and I don't know. I hope that we're still going to see him doing something in the comic book industry. He's an incredibly intelligent guy. I love his opinions, and I like how he views the comic book world. So there's that.
WB and DC Entertainment teaming up with Mattel to launch DC Superhero Girls. Coming this fall, there's going to be a new line coming out from all three of these companies. Pretty much, it's going to take some of the more predominant DC characters, such as Wonder Woman, Supergirl, Batgirl, Harley Quinn, and kind of make them younger, coming into their powers, coming into who they are. Because it's going to be aimed for girls 6 through 12, Coming out with koi lines along with that, you know, and comic books for
it's
that.
It's so coincidental that that little girl calls him out with a letter that she sends. And magically, this happens. Like, it's so weird because, I mean, I'm sure DC couldn't say anything that they already had this in the works. So.
Well, you think the letter was planted? Or you think this is all coming because of the girl's letter?
My personal opinion is the backlash was big enough for them to actually go, all right, we got to do something.
Right.
So, which, good for them for doing it, because it's
about quicker than them doing their retroactive for Flashpoint and now finally doing Convergence to fix their 52 bullshit. So.
Yeah, but congratulations to them and cheers to them for finally fucking doing something aimed at girls. It's about fucking time. So maybe it should have been sooner, but it's being done, and I'm happy about that.
There's a couple new reveals for costumes, for mobiles, for everything. We were able to see what the Vision...
Costumes for mobiles.
And mobiles, like Batmobiles.
Oh.
Other things that were kind of revealed this week.
Okay, yeah.
Mobile reveals.
Yeah, well, there were other reveals that weren't mobiles.
That's why I said costumes. I said that in there.
But,
costume mobiles.
Costume mobiles. All right.
So custom, comma, mobiles.
So the costume mobiles that were released this week, the two biggest ones are DC related. And the first was that they came out. Beyond the fact that the Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, long title for a sequel movie, that's not really a sequel.
Yeah, I was going to say, AKA, which is what they're trying to make their Justice League movie.
Right, yeah. It Justice League Assemble. Why didn't they just call it that?
That would have been a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah. But, no, the first look at the Batmobile came out. I think you guys put it best when you said it looks like the Ferrari of tumblers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not that place where you see, like, pictures and shit on the internet. Different kind of tumbler. Not the kind that we put our
most people in. Should know the giant mechanicalized Batmobile within the Dark Knight Returns.
Mechanized or mechanicalized?
Yeah. Probably mechanized is the right word, but
mechanicalized. Choo choo. All right. The other big reveal was Jared Leto's picture as the Joker, who is definitely looks insane, and I think probably the biggest. I don't know, the biggest controversy is that he's all tatted up.
Yeah, and I actually do have a problem. Like, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of the backlash of Heath Ledger's Joker was huge until they saw it on screen.
Right.
And then everyone's like, holy shit, he's the epitome of the Joker. And I'm not taking away from Jared's acting chops, because he's done a lot of roles. I just have a problem with the essence of the Joker's character. Is crazy, but not like in a crazy, like I'm gonna tattoo myself kind of craziness. And
well,
that's the biggest one. Having the damage across his forehead just seems a little extreme on the
creep
factor.
Here's the thing for me with the Joker. I've never thought the Joker thought he was crazy.
Yeah.
The Joker always thought he was the sane one, the rest of the world just didn't get the joke.
So to have the damage and the ha 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 and all that stuff tattooed, that means that he has to be in on his own joke that he's fucked up. I don't think he thinks he's fucked up. That's my interpretation. But then again, who knows? I mean, we'll see what happens, and maybe it's just a promo piece that they put out.
Could change come production.
And who knows? Maybe they put it out there to see whether or not the tattoos will fly.
It might be a test to find out if there's going to be any backlash from trying to get it. Reaction.
Yes. So, some other movie news that came out this week is that Nicole Perlman and Morgan LaFau, which I probably butchered, or Megan LaFau, I probably butchered her last name, are set to write the new Captain Marvel movie. I'm even more excited about this now because Perlman wrote Guardians of the Galaxy, which was fantastic.
Fantastically done.
So, you know, I've got even more steam behind this Captain Marvel movie coming out, seeing Carol Danvers hit the screen. That's going to be awesome. Other sexy and powerful female characters empowered is coming back to comic books this August, I believe. Empowered Volume 9 is coming out from Dark Horse Comic. Adam Warren's book. Great book. Just go look up Empowered and go buy a bunch of copies so you'll be caught up when that comes out. Alright, two last things that I've got. Tony, I know how much you love the most recent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh yeah, that was the most awesome thing I've ever flushed down the sewers, but...
Well, Bebop and Rocksteady have been confirmed to be coming into the Ninja Turtles 2 movie.
See, here's the thing. If they could totally turn the next movie away from that hunk of junk that this new reiteration was. So, if they do that, I'd be more than happy to see Bebop and Rocksteady on the big screen. Will they do that in the same vein that they had the last movie? No, they'd probably butcher them too. I'm going to leave it up to seeing some pre-production stills, if they have Samurai Mechazoid Shredder, and all that. But that's cool news, at least on the front of, I'd love to see them on the big screen.
Yeah, now the last thing that came out this week is one of the original X-Men characters came out as being gay. And,
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so if you guys don't want a spoiler, this was in all new X-Men number 40. If you guys don't want the spoiler, skip ahead a couple minutes or so.
Hit mute, something.
Yeah, because
major spoiler.
Basically, what happened in this book was that it came out that Bobby Drake, aka Iceman, is gay, and
Bendis was really pissed when that leaked as well, because he wanted to, because it leaked before the issue came out.
Well, and that's always the problem, you know. But
because he said you got to read it to understand it, and you know what? It's that's cool. For me, it takes away of then, is this an alternate timeline past that's here in the future? Because whether you're retconning his sexuality or not, it is pretty well known that Bobby Drake of now has always liked women. Not that he was trying to hide it all. He was going after hardcore Kitty Pryde for a while and kind of being a womanizer at some point.
They've alluded that all the original X-Men wanted to hook up with Jean at some point. But, you know, the one thing that I will say that I'm okay with this in as far as the storyline, because people are going to go, well, no, he had this relationship, he was interested in her, I've got a friend that I've known for shit probably 25 years, or I'm sorry, about 15 years now at this point, who, when she was 25, and she was the youngest of, I think, three, her dad ended up divorcing her mom because he was gay. It just took him 50 years to figure it out. So, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. It was one of those things where all of a sudden, from what I understood, everything just kind of made sense to him, and all of a sudden he went, wow.
I finally get it.
Yeah.
And I have to say, though, I also commend Bendis, because there have been other characters that they've had come out. Richter, Shatterstar. I don't want to put them... What?
Northstar?
No, Shatterstar?
Who's Shatterstar?
He's the guy that looks kind of like... what's his name with the lock? He's got those Star Wars that come out. X-Force.
Oh, yeah, yep. Liefeld.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Liefeld character.
Yeah.
But those, I feel, are more B-list characters. Don't want to, you know, put them down for people that really love those characters. But to have...
they're B-list.
But to have Iceman, one of the original X-Men, is a huge deal in... comic hero world to be gay, which takes balls, and it's pretty awesome that they've decided to go this route, and it'll be nice to see how that comes about with now with present day and not just past to present day and how that works.
Yeah. So, all right, well, that's everything I had. I think it will be interesting, but you never know. After Secret Wars, everything goes back to square one anyway. So yeah. Fuck it.
So the ultimate reset button.
Yep. All right. Indie Turnpike this week. I've got Captara number one from Image Comics, and this book was put together, and I honestly don't know what the exact breakdown is, but it's Chip Zdarsky and Kagan McLeod. And then Becca Kinsey does colors on this, or color assist, I should say. This is a space adventure book set in the future that I don't quite know how to explain it, but it reminds me. Did you guys ever see the movie like Ice Pirates?
Yes, that's no. Exactly what I thought.
Okay, Ice Pirates was Richard Pryor.
It was
a movie back in the 80s.
Mid-early 80s.
Yeah. This is one of these terrible, like, Flash Gordon-esque,
okay.
But, like totally making fun of it all at the same time. And people from Earth going into the, going through a wormhole, basically, coming into this other dimension. And it's a really fucked up, fun book. But I think it's all summed up. The tagline underneath the title,
yes,
of Captara is space. Why you gotta be like that? Chip Zdarsky, for anybody who doesn't know from Sex Criminals, it has a great sense of humor. Very, very solid writer on this. The artwork is a lot of fun. The colors, actually, I think, again,
vibrant.
Two books this week where the colors really pulled this out. And I'm very impressed. It's a first issue, so there is a lot of setup, and there's a lot of character exposition in here. Overall, definitely worth picking up, and I think this is going to be one of those fun books.
I think it's going to be a great series. So.
Yeah, so, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, because one of the reasons why first issues are hard is you're either going to give too much away, or you don't know enough. And in this case, there's a little bit of both. But had a blast reading it. I'm hoping to God I can talk to Chip Zdarsky this weekend while we're still here at CTV.
He's been very, very, very busy today. He was busy on Friday even.
It's like, with the exception of maybe Scott Snyder, I think he's had the longest line all weekend.
Yeah,
so.
Incredibly.
Anyway, that's it for Indie Turnpike. Time for a little Ink Whiskey.
Yes.
Who's in the Book.
Who's in the Book, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Listen to our interview with them later on when we put it up. Yeah, because we're going to have a shit ton to put up. This week's book is Guardians of the Galaxy number 26, but you also have the also variant edition of Guardians of the Galaxy and X-Men, all new X-Men Black Vortex ending, because they're both going to be paired with Galaxy Hero, the official beer of C2E2, which is an Indian Pale Ale from Revolution Brewing. I'd say it more pairs, because there is two Guardians of the Galaxy that came out this week. Number 26, because what's been happening there is Peter Quill is now the president of the Spartax Empire, so why not be that Galaxy Hero?
You know what I like, actually, is the fact that you're pairing this beer with more than one comic, because it's perfect timing, because we just ordered another round of these, because we got more than one comic, so fuck it. Let's drink some more, boys. Alright, is there anything else? I mean, we've got...
We got a ton of interviews, ton of other stuff that just... We're going to be full of content in the next couple weeks, and then even then, we got another convention going to where... Fuck me, I have a lot of back-end shit to do.
Yeah.
Let's just say there's so much goodness coming out that even the podcast historian will fall behind.
Yeah, so, guys, stay tuned. We will be getting, as much information up as soon as we can.
In fact, some information that I held from you guys that I learned at the panel, saving it for last, spoiler warning, female Thor is Carol Danvers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Okay.
That's more than spoiler warning. You need to go...
No, I'm just fucking with you guys.
Oh.
Oh, my God. It's not April anymore, fool.
Sorry, I'm like, I wonder if they will believe me, but we've had a few enough beers that maybe.
I'm like, going, wait a minute, I haven't heard anybody else talk about this, but yeah, so, no, guys.
I just didn't want to confuse our listeners. If they do listen to that, they're like, holy shit, man, I'm going to start blogging Drunk on Comics knows who it is, and then what if it does?
Oh, dude, what was it that we had used to be way back in the day, though? Oh, wow, I just totally blew out the mic on that one. Sorry, guys.
So, you guys, yeah, I don't even know how to wrap this because we still have a lot more shit to do, so let's just...
I know exactly. C2E2, thank you. Thank you for letting us come back and be press again because we have a blast every year that we're here. And glad we can be a part of this and glad we can meet creators and make new friends and drink beers and... Let's go do all of that and more right now. So.
Oh, and look, our next round is here, so let's drink up, guys.
Perfect. All right, keep reading your comics, guys. We'll be back next week to talk to you more about them then. See ya.